Welcome to another episode of Morning Coffee with your host, Rick Alexander. I started this show to talk about all of the interesting, complex, paradoxical, and sometimes uncomfortable aspects of the human experience. If you get anything from this show, the greatest compliment you could give me is to share this show with somebody that you think the message may resonate with, or to head to iTunes and give us a 5-star review. Additionally, if you want to interact with me, you can follow me at @RickAlexander_ on Instagram. Without further ado, on to the show. Good morning, happy Wednesday, if it is morning and it is Wednesday when you're listening to this. So today I've got a doubleheader episode coming up. So I recently caught up with one of the other cadre for the trials, which is the men's course that we do. It's a 12-week online course exploring a lot of the Clarity Academy principles. And then Aaron teaches the physical component, which is really about how to learn to program your own workouts. Like, that was the emphasis behind adding it. And then we have another guy, Jeff DePozzi, who some of you have heard on my show before, who is the founder of the SFE, the Special Forces Experience. And he pops in every 4 weeks to do contemplations with the group. And we actually have a Slack channel. So it's like, it's a pretty incredible community that we have built with this. All that to say is right now, the next, I think it's the third cohort for the trials, is open. You can check it out at wayoftrials.com, or of course I will link it up in the show notes of this episode. And so for today, I wanted to release this show with Aaron that I did. We had a great conversation because he does teach the physical part of the course, but he is intensely thought out and intentional as a human being. And so he brings so much to the philosophical, the mental, the cognitive portion of the course. So I wanted to have a conversation with him about like his views, and we just kind of like go around the map and have an amazing conversation. But before I air that, what I wanted to do was release a lecture that he did for the Robust Human Summit. That was something a bunch of us who kind of worked together and networked together got together during the pandemic and put on this thing called the Robust Human Summit, where basically we just kind of taught some things that we were passionate about or working through. I taught a breathwork portion, and Aaron taught a couple of portions, one on leadership and some other things. So what I'm going to do is air one of his lectures first, and then the second episode that I air right after that will be the actual interview with me and him. And I wanted to do that just because there's so many positive things you can get from that lecture. Like, I really he's sharing his passions in leadership and philosophical development. So I thought that was incredible, but also just for you that are unfamiliar with him on my channel, it'll give you a chance to learn from him and get introduced to what his message is and things like that. So I've talked long enough. Without further ado, on to the show. And just know I'll be releasing another one right after this with the interview.
What's up, guys? It's Aaron Guyatt here. I hope you guys have been enjoying the Robust Human Summit. Man, what a great experience, right? So I am absolutely mind pumped, body pumped to share with you today leadership and communication to improve leadership or have better communication as a leader. But first, I think it's really important that you kind of understand this in context. Number one, I've been given a bunch of incredible opportunities. So was able to lead a gym and a group of trainers, and then be able to sell that and sell the systems so that it was sustainable and continued forward. I have been able to build another organization called Battle Ropes Education and sell that as a system and as a structure and as a way to scale and improve and create something that was way bigger than me. Now I'm a part of that, right, with Living Got Fit as their education director. So I get to do the same thing. I get to lead for their education, whether it's just the end product stuff for fitness, or the advanced stuff where we're teaching trainers and enthusiasts and things like that how to more effectively use their tool or their methodologies and stuff like that. So I am absolutely in love with research. I'm in love with science. I'm in love with philosophy. I got my master's in organizational leadership or leadership studies. And because I'm just so into that, I have the great opportunity to be the chief instructor at Mobilization Training Battalion. We're a bunch of combat instructors that augment the other combat instructors that are down at the School of Infantry in Camp Pendleton. And I have the grand pleasure to be the chief physical strategist and a cadre member with the Special Forces Experience. Boom. So without further ado, let's jump into leadership and communication as a leader. So first, kind of where I'm coming from. So I'm thinking about leadership not as just garnering a following, right? I think that that is a way to lead, right? If people follow you, then you are a leader. I believe that everybody, all of us, have spheres of influence, right, in our lives. But I'm talking about leaders of leaders. And when I say leaders of leaders, think about this. I think the highest level of a leader is to develop leaders underneath them, not to just have followers that do what they say to do or do what they do or whatever it is. I mean, that's great, especially if you're doing great things. But if you can develop those people into their own leaders, and then think about the incredible effect that will have on humanity, on our society, right? If we're not only just telling people what to do and then having them follow us, but developing them into the leaders that they are called to be for their spheres of influence. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about communication as a leader and leadership communication. So leaders of leaders, that leaders of leaders concept. It's a passion project of mine. I have an Instagram account that's Leaders of Leaders. I got a website, leadersofleaders.org. But right now, it's on the back burner. It's just a passion project. I spend every day diving into philosophy about it, every day learning a little bit more. And one day, I believe that God has me on a path to deliver something that's incredible. But we will see, right? In the meantime, I'm enjoying the process of learning, and I hope that you're going to enjoy this process of learning too. So if we're going to be the highest calling, right, the most robust humans as leaders of leaders, then we're going to have the highest character, we're going to have the highest morality, we're going to have the greatest influence for those that we influence. So I'm not saying the greatest influence like we influence the world, but the people that we do come in contact with that are in our spheres of influence, we are going to have great influence into their lives. We're going to have incredible impact, deep impact. So think about deep impact as like soul changing or worldview transforming, right? Paradigm shifting. That's what I'm talking about, right? With impact, and then at the highest quality. So it's going to speak to them cleanly and clearly, get them to focus on the thing that they're called to as leaders. And so I think in order to do this well, in order to have that deep clarity, we need to understand ourselves at higher levels, right? Or deeper levels, if you will. I think that that starts with really understanding and being able to justify our beliefs and our belief system. So oftentimes we have beliefs that we don't even realize that we believe until we do something, and then we're like, "Oh man, I shouldn't have done that. That maybe something I shouldn't have done." Or they make us feel incongruent or off with society, or off with ourselves, or off with what we believe might be our highest calling. So that, to me, the belief system creates a foundation. And so then that's been a journey that I have been able to take part in and be on for the last like 15 years. So coming out of Iraq, I had a really rough time coexisting with civilians, and even coexisting with myself. It was a really rough transition for me to go from military combat into society. And so I started doing a ton of work on myself and seeking out wise counsel, literally counselors and such and spiritual mentors that spoke into my life and really helped me dive into what's going on with me. What do I believe and why do I believe that? And can I justify that? Is that ethical? Is that logical? All of these things, right? So fantastic journey. But again, we're not gonna talk about that. That's just kind of creating the groundwork, right? Belief systems. From there, then so we can just have arbitrary beliefs, an arbitrary purpose, an arbitrary value, an arbitrary vision, and then begin this process of relationships and communication, which is what we're gonna talk about, right? but I don't think that we can, if we're trying to truly be leaders of leaders that have this highest character, morality, influence, impact, and quality, right? So a lot of us humans are walking around and just believing sort of what we believe because we were told to believe it, or because that was the last cool thing we heard on a podcast or whatever that might be. And so again, I'm not saying that you're wrong, but it's going to be very difficult for you to really understand what your deeper purpose is, right? Or your deep-seated why you exist. So the French call it the raison d'être, right? So it's like the reason to be, or like the deep meaning and purpose for your existence here on this planet, in this universe, at this time. Just kind of an incredible thing to just think about, right? If we have an incredible purpose, then it's incredible. If we don't know that purpose, then it could be a little bit chaotic and like, oh, I don't know what to do. But there are some really great books and things out there that can help you start to formulate that and clarify that and get that into a concrete sense, into your soul, into your mind, into your being, so that you can go forth and do amazing things. So then from that purpose, now that's going to drive certain values or certain, maybe even like maxims. It might be maybe not a counterfeit, but like maybe a less deep way of stating value, right? But these values are going to stem from not only our beliefs and our belief system, but also they're going to stem from our purpose, right? There's going to be certain things that we value at a greater level than other things because of our belief system, because of our purpose. And this is going to now start, again, coning in, making our impact a little bit more laser focused into the spheres of influence that have been gifted to us, right? Or we've been able to come across. And then from that, now we can start to articulate a vision. Now we can start to paint a picture of sort of our manifest desires, what we see that we can do in this world because of our calling, because of our beliefs, because of our values. Like, I feel like I can really make this a reality, make this what might have been a romantic idea or fantasy. We could start to put some handles on it and go, yeah, I think I can walk this thing out. I think I can develop these other leaders and we can really truly make a change in the world, in the universe, in humanity, whatever that might be, right? And so then we get into the all important piece of relationships and communication, right? I'm immediately and automatically limiting myself if I take it under my own ego, my own self, under my own power, and do everything that I can just only within me, right? It becomes immediately limiting, right? We are far more powerful together. We are far more powerful when we're united. And so relationships are of the utmost importance. Communicating to those relationships are of the utmost importance in order for that vision to no longer just be in the leader of leaders' head, but into society, into the world, into our lives as we walk it out. Again, if you can't tell, I'm absolutely pumped about this topic. I'm absolutely fanatical about it, very passionate. Let's talk talk about relationships and communication. So in the Family Security, I talked about Nonviolent Communication as a great book. I don't have a book for you on this. I'm gonna hopefully call you into something very personal for you to walk out. And all of this stuff works, whether it's from a surviving standpoint or a thriving standpoint. So just to be able to, you know, pay your bills and things like that, or survive just physiologically and be able to breathe and stuff, right? It's important, but it also drives into the thriving, right? So if we don't get good at this from a relationship and communication standpoint, if we don't get good at the communication piece, right, to just survive, then there's no way we're gonna thrive. Right? So the cool part is the work that you're going to do, the handles that we're going to put on this, that are going to help pull you up to better relationships and better communication, are not only going to help you in the surviving realm, but it's also going to help you in the thriving realm, really taking that next level. So I let's just jump right into it. The first thing is that words mean stuff and things, right? I know the saying goes, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Wrong. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can transform me. Words can create revolution. Words can change paradigms. Words can adjust worldviews. Words can pull you from this thought line and bring you into completely new realm, not only in your mind, but now that it's in your mind, it's gonna automatically and intrinsically be an outpouring of the way that you think about the world around you and yourself. Words can do that. I mean, it's incredible. The human narrative is one of the, if not the most powerful thing that humanity has. Right? You think about that. Words mean stuff and things. Words are powerful beyond belief, powerful beyond compare. And if you don't believe me, let's do a quick activity. I want you to, if you feel comfortable, close your eyes. If you're driving, please don't. I want you to think of the best moment in your life. And if you're like me, you start that Rolodex going and you're flipping through like, oh, that was a good moment. Oh, the wedding. Oh, having a baby. Oh, buying a home. Oh, achieving this incredible goal, right? You start Rolodexing through, flipping through, which is the best, which is the best, which is the best. All these amazing moments. And that is a great positive neuroplasticity trick, right? Or positive neuroplasticity training. It is not a trick. It is just how our brains work, right? I hear something and then automatically I'm gonna start processing on that thing, right? And it's just through a question, right? I can change one word and bring you down a completely new path, right? Just changing one word in that question. So I want you to think of the worst moment in your life. Ooh, that is rough, right? So stop, don't, we'll pull out of that. No Rolodexing through that. Okay, back to best moments, right? No more Rolodexing through the worst possible moments. But you can't help yourself but think, oh, that was a crappy moment. Oh, this was a really bad moment. Oh man, I forgot about that bad moment, right? And it was just one word. I changed one word, that was it. Right, so if you now don't believe me that words are powerful, then you can shut this off because the rest isn't gonna make a difference, right? But if you do, if you feel that, right, if you can own that, now we can take responsibility for our words to ourselves, our words to our relationships, our words to our spheres of influence, our words to the leaders that we're trying to develop. So one of the greatest experiences, one of the greatest experiences of my life was my spiritual mentor, Ian Stevenson. We would meet, I would talk, you know, it kind of incessantly. As you could tell, I'm a bit verbose. and oftentimes he would leave me with just one question. He would just ask me a question. Well, why is it that you think about this? You know, or what prompted you to make that decision? And then that would be, I mean, and we would talk about other things and, you know, banter back and forth or whatever, but I couldn't help but have that question stick in my bones as I walked through the next, you know, few days, next week, next couple of weeks until I met him again. And then, like, oftentimes it would just be like this incredible upheaval of stuff just from one question, right? So questions are powerful because questions help us adjust and think about new paradigms and think about, you know, the whys and the whats and the hows and the whens and all of these things and help us really dive deep. So great, being a great question asker or asking better questions, right? So we're gonna go from the ground up here. So asking better questions is an incredible way to help people change their dialogue, help people change their narrative. And so, you know, what are good questions? Oftentimes good questions are gonna be derived out of great listening. So I can't just give you, hey, ask these 10 questions, and I could probably give you 10 pretty dang good questions to ask. You know, the questions that I love are the great philosophical questions that just have me continuing to spin and dive deep into the material that is, you know, philosophy and ideology and psychology and physiology and, you know, sciences and all these things to help create good logical reasons for the, you know, why I believe what I believe, or why I think what I think, or why I believe that this is the worldview that I believe, right? But I'm not going to give you just, here's the top, you know, three or top five or top 10 great philosophical questions, because oftentimes it can be, you know, somebody shares something that's heart-wrenching to you, right? Somebody that is in your sphere of influence that you're trying to develop as a leader. And so for me to totally discard the fact that they completely bared their soul to me about a traumatic experience that they had in their childhood or something like that, and then for me to go, what is the meaning of life? You know, and just like arbitrarily like throwing out a philosophical question or whatever, a great philosophical question, is absolutely demeaning to that person, right? So listening to a person's narrative and putting yourself in that narrative and really trying to understand. I mean, this is the beauty of our great frontal lobe cognition that we have, right? Not the midbrain, not the lizard brain, but this like critical thinker where we can objectively throw ourselves in a bunch of different scenarios and really try to understand where somebody's coming from and maybe understanding the emotions that they're experiencing and validating those emotions, but then being able to come back and maybe then about that specific traumatic experience, you know, so is that why you react this way when these things happen to you, right? I mean, that was one of the questions, you know, because I had this great struggle with being a warrior, and part of being a warrior is being very violent, and I can't lie, I was in love with violence. I was in love with this rage, and it was almost like tapping into my primal desires, and I was just able to really unleash and let loose. Unfortunately, that is a horrible thing to have in society, right? Is this great thirst for violence, because now that's hurting relationships, that's hurting communication. So, you know, instead of going, oh, well, what is the meaning of life? You know, and driving me down that path, you know, it was, do you think that those violent interactions are improving your relationships? And boom, like, just, okay, so maybe being a warrior isn't about being in love or in lust, really, with violence. Maybe being a warrior and still being able to hold on to that ideology of warrior is about protecting, right? And not being afraid of violence, but not having this great thirst that can never be quenched for violence, right? It's utilizing violence only when necessary to protect the things that you love, right? And it's completely changed my worldview. And then I wasn't looking for ways to quench my unquenchable thirst of violence. I was now looking for ways to protect the people and the things that I love, right? And so then it became now an act of service and even an act of sacrifice versus this lustful, you know, unquenchable thirst for something that is absolutely not helpful, right, for relationship building and not helpful for communication and not helpful for building leaders of leaders and developing other people under me, right? So asking better questions, right? And I'm not going to give you a list, but the more you start asking questions, the more you will realize, like, putting the rubber to the road is start asking questions and then stop talking and start listening, right? And the more you ask questions, the more you're going to realize, ooh, this is a better question than that question, right? This question is sort of a surface question that's just driving at, you know, maybe manipulating or coercing them to change their action. Whereas this question might completely adjust their worldview so that there is no coercion, there is no manipulation. There's going to be an intrinsic outpouring of them into being a better human or being a better leader, right, for their people. So asking better questions. And then it would be master storytelling. Like I said, the narrative, right? We speak narratives to ourselves all of the time. We have an inner dialogue that's constantly going on. And we're constantly spanning great gaps of logic and things with our innate act of storytelling, you know, like, oh, I don't need to think about, you know, why this or why that. I'll just jump to this conclusion or jump to this assumption, right? By telling this story, right? Oh, this person's bad because, you know, X, Y, and Z, when we never even saw X, Y, or Z. They are just a bad person. And in order for us to feel good about them being a bad person, we need to make them have and do bad stuff in our minds, right? And so then we just jump to those assumptions and jump to those conclusions, which is clearly not helpful for relationships, clearly not helpful for communication. So if we're trying to develop leaders, right, we need to ask better questions, listen, and then become masters at storytelling. And so masters at storytelling is now articulating with concreteness the vision that you're talking about. So if your vision, right, isn't concrete, meaning it doesn't have shape, it doesn't have touch, texture, feel, it doesn't have the five senses attached to it, maybe even that sixth sense, the emotive sense, right? If it doesn't have that, right, concreteness attached to it, then chances are nobody's going to be able to act on that vision, act on behalf of that vision, right? It's just not going to happen. The connections and the way in which we can align with people and create win-win-wins and have strategy, it just can't happen, right? Because there is no articulation of the vision, and that articulation isn't concrete. It's not visceral. I don't feel it in the depths of my heart and my soul, right? And if I can't do that, if that can't happen, if that's not happening, then there's going to be no way for me to take one step toward that vision, because there is no step, right? There is no concrete floor or path leading me towards that vision. So being a master storyteller is going to help us either A, create queries or potentiated ideas or ideology, right, where we purposefully leave a gap for their brain to now figure out ways to fill that gap, or to fill the gaps, fill the unknowns in their mind with very concrete steps and handles, like asking better questions. Now, and in asking better questions, it's a concrete solution. So I need to start asking questions, but I also left a gap, right? Now you have to fill what is a better question. I want you to meditate on that. I want you to struggle with that. I want you to wrestle with what are better questions, not just questions, but better questions, right? So mastering storytelling. And then last but not least, your example, your actions are going to speak far more volumes, right, than even your words, right? So if I say, like, ask better questions, but I never ask a question and never do any listening, the chances are at some point you're going to be like, yeah, like, you, great idea that you just threw out there, but you're not doing it as my leader. So why should I ever, you know, go through that arduous process and potential adventure of asking better questions. Clearly you're not doing it, so clearly I don't need to do this, right? If they're in your organization, or if they're in your household, or if they're in your small group or in your friendship circles, right? If you're telling people to ask better questions because you're trying to develop them as leaders of leaders, right? But you're not asking better questions, like what's happening there, right? And so then that is your daily example. So things that you hold near and dear. So for me, right, my values are Christ-likeness, sacrificial or servant leadership, and sacrificial love, right? So if I'm not being Christ-like, then clearly I'm saying one thing and doing totally another. So I'm out of alignment with my beliefs, I'm out of alignment with my purpose, and those are my values, so I'm out of alignment with my values. If I'm not sacrificially loving, right, getting up at 4:30 in the morning and then doing the dishes for my wife because that's her greatest love language, right, if I'm not doing that day in and day out, then what does that say as an example, right, of me? And maybe that's not a great sacrifice, just a small one, right? There are greater sacrifices for sure. Or servant leadership. If I'm leading so that I can be served and powerful, and yes, do this for me, right? Then that's not being an example, right, of the things that I value and hold true. And the same thing with my priorities. So I prioritize relationships. I prioritize communication. I prioritize wealth building, right? And I believe in doing it in a God-honoring way. So if I'm not walking those things out day in and day out, then what does that say about my leadership, right? I'm not being an intentional leader. I'm definitely not being a leader of leaders, right? I'm not functioning at the highest character, at the highest morality, at the highest level of influence, highest impact, and highest quality, right? Those things just are not happening. And so those are things for me, near and dear to me. I'm not saying that those need to be your values, your priorities. You're going to have your own, of course. And I'm also not saying, hey, you have to do these things. I think that it is absolutely imperative if we are to be leaders of leaders. But if we just want to level up our leadership communication, right? Daily example, master storytelling, and asking better questions, knowing that words mean stuff and things, right? Sticks and stones can break people's bones, but words can ignite revolution. Words can change paradigms. Words can absolutely change worldviews. And so words are powerful. So just knowing that and starting to enact these things in your life, I believe that that's going to end up driving you back to these kind of foundational things and this area of being not just a leader that has a followership or being a good father that your kids, you know, do what they're supposed to do, but really developing your children into leaders that are going to impact other leaders, developing your business employees or team into leaders that are going to impact other leaders. Very passionate about this. I love the topic of leadership. I love all the philosophical rabbit holes and logic rabbit holes and things like that that are built behind this. There's a bunch of psychological work that is still being done on the mind and the brain and sociology and sociological things. And I mean, it is an endlessly deep well. And so I encourage you, admonish you, and challenge you this week, today, right now. Start asking better questions, begin your mastery of storytelling by telling stories, and produce a daily example. Just change one thing, right? And make it a daily example, every single day, day in and day out. This is Aaron Guyette. Make your next one your best one, and I'll see you on the other side.